Yeah, beautiful service already. And so I don't come in any strength of my own. It's only through Christ that we achieve anything, isn't it, really? And so I look forward to sharing the word with you this morning as a messenger, a servant. And I give God all the glory and praise for every opportunity that I have. And I do love my role with Bible League because I do get to go to lots of different churches and meet lots of people I'm going to spend eternity with. And I love that. And it's lovely to see you all again. I think the last time I was here would have been 2019, I think. Certainly a lot has happened since I was here. And God has never left his throne during that time, has he? He's still in control, and he is still worthy to be praised. It's taken me a long time as a Christian to understand that God is always worthy to be praised. No matter what I'm going through, he remains worthy of praise. Well, this morning, before we have a look at what Jude spoke to the church about, and how we can sort of apply that to our lives today, it's important that we understand that he didn't come to the church when he wrote the letter that he did in any sort of chastisement. Sometimes we can read these letters that were written to the church as a sort of a chastisement, and certainly there were some that Paul wrote and he was speaking on behalf of the Lord. You're doing this well, but I have this against you, etc. But for Jude, he's really just reminding the church of how we can behave amongst the persecution that comes against the church. And so in the beginning verses of Jude, Jude identifies some things that were coming against the church, both from outside the church and also from within the church. But he talks about the scoffers, the finger pointers, the accusers. And I think, there's always been throughout church history, certainly we understand from biblical history and then right through church history into this present age, there are those that are against us. Our battle, we are reminded, is not with flesh and blood. It is with the principalities and powers that work through these people. So it's not them against us. It is, of course, Satan trying to destroy the beauty of God's church. And so with that, as long as Satan exists, there will be accusation and persecution to the church. And so Jude comes with some reminders to the church of how we can behave, because one of the things that we need to understand as believers is that we must never guess what we are to do. Never guess. Jesus never guessed about what to do. Bible tells us that Jesus only ever did what he saw the Father do. In other words, there was a level of communication from the Father to the Son as to how he should proceed, probably on a daily basis. And we are to be the same. We are to engage with the Word of God. We are to engage with him in prayer through the Holy Spirit so that we know exactly how to behave when the pressures come. And so that is what Jude is coming to us, even all these years later. I find it quite interesting that Jude almost sets up these reminders of who we are and to defend the faith or to remain faithful. Either way, whatever title you put to this message, there's a sense of battle. And so Jude comes to us and reminds us that there's a battle going on. There will be these accusers and apostasy and all these levels of interruption to the church, and he just wants to set the health of the church right. And then we lead directly into the almost apocalyptic language of Revelation. So there he is, just a single letter, no chapters, just tucked in there right before Revelation. And it's a prelude, I think, to understanding the last times, how the church, that's us, needs to behave in the last days. In fact, Jude even talks about those in his letter. So let me read for you from the book of Jude. I am picking it up from verse 17 to 21. It's only really a short part of the whole letter. But in the preceding verses, Jude spends a lot of time identifying the troubles and the reason for those troubles that come to the church. So you can have a look at those in your own time. But I'm just going to focus this morning on the last verses. And so Jude, verse 17, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, says, "But you..." But you. So in other words, I've explained that there's a whole lot of things here, but you, because you are not part of this, you are a faithful people. "But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted." In other words, there is plenty of prophetic declaration throughout the Word of God as to what will happen in the last times. And Jude goes on and says, "They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you." That is the enemy's major tactic, division. He always wants to separate you from God or the idea that God loves you. He wants to plant seeds all the time that we are not good enough or something that separates us from God. But of course we know, if we read our scriptures, nothing can separate us from the love of God. But that's what the enemy wants to do. And he works through people to create divisions, arguments, foolish talk, just waste of time things. He says they follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's Spirit in them. I mean, right there we have an identifier. The identifier is the Holy Spirit. Those that have the Holy Spirit, and that's all of us, and I'll explain that from Scripture, need to tune in and behave as to what the Spirit would have us do. The unbeliever does not have the Holy Spirit, and so he's identifying that these are unbelievers. They do not have the Spirit in them. He then continues, "But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you to eternal life. In this way, you will keep yourselves safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering, rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment, and show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution, hating the sin that contaminates their lives." So this morning, I'm just going to look at five of the things that Jude mentions to us: build each other up, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, show mercy to those whose faith is wavering, rescue others by snatching them from the flames, and to show mercy to still others, but do so with great caution. So the first one there, build each other up. If we're building each other up, we will find it very hard to judge. If our conversations are right, then we are going to be building up, not tearing down. So it's a countermeasure, if you like. to the arguing that could come from absorbing some of the argument from the scoffers. You know, maybe they're right. Maybe we'll take a little bit of portion of this and bring it into the church. Very, very dangerous. And I don't like social media for that purpose. I think there's far too many conversations that happen outside of the church, and we are the church, so where we are is church. Far too many comments are made outside of church that we just really shouldn't be making or participating in. So he says, build each other up. How do we build each other up? And I might just point out here, he says to build each other up in your most holy faith. And I noticed this morning a few of the songs that we sang spoke about being holy. And as a church, my encouragement is to remind ourselves and to hold on to that holy factor. We are holy people, a royal priesthood that serve and love a holy God. And every behavior should be in that vein. In other words, is this a holy comment? Is this something that I would say to God? Is my behavior holy? Does it glorify God? Holy. Build each other up in our most holy faith. Well, fortunately, we don't have to guess. Remember, we don't have to guess on what to do. So the instruction is to build each other up. And then if we read our Bibles and absorb that, we find that Paul tells us exactly how to do that. In 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul says this, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever." That is going to be one amazing moment in history, is it not? Calamitous, but glorious. It's very hard for us to take these enormous kingdom concepts and put them into our minds and even understand how that might roll out around the world at the same time. All of those things. But it is our hope, is it not? As we live our lives out on planet Earth, in these fleshy little suitcases that hold the Holy Spirit and our spirit, we hope for this day. And even if we do pass away, the hope is still there. The dead in Christ rise first and meet him, and then the others. Meet our Lord and Savior, and we will be with him for eternity, glorifying and worshiping him. I was made to worship, we sang. We can start now, but we are going to do it forever. And so what Paul says in verse 18, therefore, in other words, you know, the first thing you learn in Bible college is that if you see the word therefore, you've got to ask what it's there for, right? So he's saying, because of everything I just explained to you, that glorious moment in history, whenever it's going to occur, because that is your great hope, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encouragement, that the context of every conversation that we have should be the glorious hope that we have in Jesus Christ of being part of what Paul has just written about, joining Jesus Christ forever. Therefore, encourage with these words. Use these words. Now, I'm sure there's lots of other words of encouragement that we can use, but be careful. Be careful. Use the ones that the Bible is encouraging us to do. 2 Corinthians, Paul comes to us again. He says, finally, after explaining a lot of things, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Well, we don't see that much anymore, do we? We do handshakes. We might give each other a hug. We certainly miss doing that during the restrictions. But it's good behavior, because a handshake and a hug is really demonstrating what the Jews and the Gentiles did with the kiss. You see, when they say greet each other with a holy kiss, it was because the Jews and the Gentiles wanted to demonstrate that they understood that the gospel, the saving grace of Jesus Christ, was for everybody. There was no longer any separation because of culture or belief. We've come together in Jesus Christ. And so they wanted to demonstrate to one another that there was nothing that stood between them. That's really what we're saying when we shake hands and give each other a hug, isn't it? There's nothing between us. There's no argument between you and I. We are totally agreed. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's the King of Kings. Lots of things we can agree on. But all the other stuff doesn't matter. We've got to get that out. So build each other up in our most holy faith. That's the first one. The second one is to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says that in the last days he will pour out his Spirit. I believe that as the light and darkness become more obvious, if you like, and we have an increase, certainly in Western church, we have an increase of persecution. Those that are walking with the Lord have the Holy Spirit, and we are going to need the Holy Spirit. We're almost going to have to live directly through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God, but he is presented as a separate person in the Trinity of God and in different ways through Scripture. So we see him as a power, a creating power. He was hovering over the whole of the universe, a supplier of power, a helper, a teacher, a comforter, and a resident within our mortal bodies. This is the mortal body, the fleshly one. And so in repentance and baptism, the Holy Spirit resides in me. And that's why I can come and do things through Christ that strengthens me. So a strengthening power. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Maybe Jennifer is having some of that right now, some strengthening power until her head hits the pillow. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, a power to use in evangelism. This is an interesting one. When we try and evangelize, even with our own children, if we don't do it by tuning into the Holy Spirit and saying the things that the Holy Spirit prompts us to say, we can get it horribly wrong, and we can actually push people away rather than drawing them in. He says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. As we witness, we want to be functioning through the Holy Spirit and not our own strength, not our own comments, not our own posts, not our own likes and dislikes. Social media is destroying the church. I'm just going to put it out there. Don't comment, just talk through the Holy Spirit. He's a help in times of trouble, Mark chapter 13 and verse 11. But when you are arrested and stand trial, hopefully we may escape that through God's grace. I don't know. When is not saying if, is it? When you are arrested and stand trial, don't worry. How many times does the Bible tell us not to worry? Not to worry. But to not worry, we've got to make sure that we stand on the rock that is Jesus Christ and tune into the Holy Spirit. Don't worry in advance about what you're going to say. So you don't have to worry about the conversation that you're going to have with your children or your grandchildren or the neighbor. Just tune into the Holy Spirit. Don't worry about the conversation that you're going to have. Say what God tells you at the time, for it is not you who will be speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what we want to be? The voice of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8, he tells us, is the Holy Spirit is an intercessor. And I really just want to encourage some of you this morning with this. It says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. God understands that in our humanness, we are weak. We are made strong through Jesus Christ, but he knows this mortal body gets tired, it thinks the wrong things, it gets troubled. For example, we do not know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. It's not that we don't know who to pray for. If we've got someone who is on our hearts, we know who to pray for, but we may not know how to pray that. And so when we pray, we may feel like we're fumbling our way through. We don't know what to pray for. But be reminded this morning, whatever is on your hearts, and I heard that there are a lot of parents praying for children, understand that Almighty Holy Spirit is interceding with the Father and the Son on behalf of your children right now with groanings that we couldn't possibly understand. Know that that support is behind whatever you manage to stumble out in your own prayers. Important one here is the Holy Spirit is a gift given to every believer. So Peter replied, he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So there is a process that we need to acknowledge. But in the name of Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness of your sins and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There is no one that has come to repentance and has been through baptism that does not have the Holy Spirit within them. How much they engage with the Spirit is entirely up to them. And I think, myself included, I don't engage often enough and deep enough with the Holy Spirit that lives in my mortal body. I have him wherever I go. It's a strange concept, isn't it? He's in heaven interceding for our kids, and yet he resides in here as well. Just grab a hold of the awesome power and majesty and glory of God, a gift for every believer. So be encouraged this morning. We have the Holy Spirit there interceding when we don't know what to pray. Number three is to show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. If there's anything that we can take from this one scripture, it is the truth that our faith can waver. There are times when faith leaks out, if you like. And when I've brought this message before, I first did it in a little town called Angara, which is on the Eyre Peninsula in the wheat belt there. And so I saw this rain tank, and it had been pierced by, I don't know, maybe Johnny had his little air rifle or the 22 gun and had some target practice at the rain tank, the water tank. And where this bullet had gone through, there was just this rust mark of where, you know, the water had come out. And I just think, if we think of our faith as a tank, there will be at times, because we are told in Scripture that we will be persecuted, that there will be suffering, because through suffering we identify with Christ's suffering. So we understand that every now and then in life, something will pierce our tank and our faith can begin to leak out a little bit. It begins to waver. We begin to maybe question where God is in a particular situation. We begin to perhaps try and understand why he doesn't love us because this is happening to me. Don't listen to those lies. That's the enemy trying to divide again. The Christian journey is actually very hard when we think about it. Maybe in Australia, we've been blessed for so long in that we have so much freedom to come together and to encourage one another and to have open services and carol nights and all those sorts of things. But in ourselves, we are warring with the flesh, aren't we? Our mortal bodies, our fleshy one again, doesn't like a life of faith. Bible tells us that it needs to be trained. Our minds need to be renewed through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our selves need to draw on spiritual strength from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We are warned that people will hate us, that we will be persecuted. As I said, suffering will come to us as we identify with Christ's suffering. Everybody runs the same race, but we are never always at the same mile marker. And so there will be times when those who are strong, they have, I suppose, a moment where the tank is full. We need to be looking for those that do not. And remember, this is not saying that we don't do these things. It's a reminder to keep an eye out for one another. To keep an eye out for one another, because who knows when those things might come and pierce the tank and faith begins to come out. You know, there's even a blessing to be merciful. God just never stops giving, does he? He says, this is what I would like you to do. I would like you to show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. And we think, yep, that's a good thing to be doing. But he says, beyond that, I'm even going to bless you. It says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown more mercy. He just never stops giving. So why not? Why not look for those ones? It's so different to the contrast in the scoffers and the pointers and the arguments and that enemy trying to divide, isn't it, when we're looking out for one another and to share our faith with each other and to build each other up. So that's the first three that pretty much deal with us. You see, Jude is saying to the believer, those that have been repented and baptized and are strong in the Lord, the church. But what he's reminding us in number four is that the reason that the church needs to be healthy, the reason that the church needs to focus and draw close to these things, these behaviors that he is reminding us of, is because of the gospel, the lost. So he says to build each other up in our most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, gather up those, be merciful, don't judge, but be merciful to those whose faith is wavering. Why? Rescue others by snatching them from the flames. It's strong language, isn't it? We don't hear a lot of messages anymore about the result of not accepting the gift of salvation. The result of not accepting Jesus' invitation and the gift of salvation is hell. And we need to be aware of it, because when we hear that word, we begin to understand the amazing journey of humility that the word took to become flesh as the created. The creator became as the created. And then he went even further to serve that which he had created in a most amazing way, because of the urgency that the Father knew he had to make a way for us to return to the Father. And Jesus is that way because the Father knew that the alternative is horror. It's hell. Hell was never made for the soul. It was made to hold fallen creatures. So Jude reminds us that hell is real. When we consider that whatever we may do to bring others into the kingdom of God, carol services, conversations with our neighbor, conversations with our family, can we hear from Jude and remind ourselves that we are not simply being good, we are not simply fulfilling our purpose in the Great Commission, and we are not simply bringing them to Jesus, but in the context of what Jude is talking about, we are rescuing them from a most horrible eternity. I saw a play once called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. I don't know if it made it to Australia. I was in New Zealand at the time. It is on YouTube if you want to have a look at it, Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. It was an evangelistic play put on by Christian amateur actors in different halls all around New Zealand. However, it received a lot of criticism because of the focus that it had on hell. Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. They were trying to make that contrast. The criticism was that we needed to love people into the kingdom. We need to be a lot more gracious than talking about hell. But I disagree. We certainly need to do everything in love, because if we are speaking as the Holy Spirit would have us speak, then we're going to be speaking words of love, because God is love. There's not going to be any judgment, etc. But I think if someone grasps where they're headed in the fact that that is their destination rather than spend time gloriously with the Lord, and that fear, if you like, of hell draws them to a true repentance and to baptism, then why not? It doesn't matter what gets someone to the point of repentance, so long as the repentance is real and the baptism will come after. So rescue others by snatching them from the flames. Just really catch on to the language that Jude is speaking to us. Number five is quite an interesting one, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. It would have been sufficient, I think, if we consider that the Great Commission is to go out into all the world to preach the good news of the gospel and to make disciples. There's some additional things there, but essentially that is the Great Commission. And so we could understand that Jude could have signed off there, yours faithfully, Jude, and we would have had a tremendous letter. But he takes it one step further of rescuing others from the flames of hell. He says, rescue still others, but with great caution. So remember here, he's talking about the last days. Even though he wrote that letter a long time ago, the last days, we should always be living in the expectation that we are in the last days. The kingdom of God is at hand. And so what he's saying is that there is a need to remain compassionate and not judgmental. There is a need to see the soul, not just the activity or the sinful way that someone might be living out their life. But be careful, because if you're going to go and witness to those people, if you're going to be in those environments and reaching out, he tells us that we must not even let the sin come on upon us. And so the only example that I might give you is that my son, God bless him, when he became a Christian as a young man, not as a school man, but as a young man, in his workplace, he would know who the non-Christians were, and he would always want to make friends with them. And mum and dad are at home going, yep, okay, that's good, but let it not be an influence on his life. And that's the caution, because he wanted to go to the parties. He wanted to go to the activities that these people were doing to have the God conversation. He was looking for the one that he might sit down and have the God conversation and share the gospel. And so the only thing that mum and dad could do was to warn and say, if you're going to do that, you're going to see things and to hear things that are going to be very, very different to what you will read in the Bible. You're just going to put yourself in a place where the enemy could really have a go at you. So just be careful that you pull them aside. Leave the party if you're going to have the God conversation. Pull that person out from what they're in and then witness to them. So there it is, the letter of Jude to us, three very good points for us to remember, to build each other up in our most holy faith, to connect with the Holy Spirit, pray in the Holy Spirit, know that he intercedes for us, gather up people when they take a hit. Don't be judgmental as to why they're not at church. Go and find out why they're not at church and be merciful. Take communion to them. Do something like that. And then, of course, remember that above all else is the gospel. And so I just encourage you in that. In actual fact, if I just go to my last page here. Jude, I think, understood that this was a lot to absorb for the church. And so he just wants to remind us of who we are and who we serve. And he says, now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away. Isn't that good? He's able to keep us from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. So good. All glory to him. Amen. Who alone is God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, all glory, majesty, power, and authority are his, before all time, in the present, and beyond all time. All glory, majesty, and power. Amen. Amen. God bless you.